Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's now my pleasure to present some of the key findings of the report, giving an overview over what was already mentioned, systems at risk. And let me please start with giving an overview over the current status and trends. Some very key figures. Currently, 12% of the land suitable for crop production is used for crop production, but at the same time, agriculture uses 70% of all water withdrawn from the natural cycle. This is only for crop production. Additionally, we have livestock and pastures and other production systems. If we look at the increments in the past 50 years, the world's cultivated land for crop production increased by 12%, but the irrigated area increased by 117%, and agricultural production within the last 50 years increased by 200%. So you can see that the increase in production came from a slight increase of cultivated land, mainly from the increase in the irrigated area. And I have to say, this is a net figure. Net, 12% more. This means that land which is degraded or is under desertification pressure is not here. So this is only a net figure. If you look at the change in cropland between 1961 and 2009, you see that currently 1.5 billion hectares are used for crop production and 301 million hectares are irrigated. In 1961, it was 1.3 billion hectares and 139 million hectares irrigated. What is one of the key findings of this report is if you look at the cultivated land per capita and we make a distinction between land cultivated in high-income countries. In high-income countries, we have 0.37 hectares per person, and in low-income countries, we have less than 50% of it. In low-income countries, we have currently land cultivated suitable for crop production of 0.17 hectare per person. This means that low-income countries have less than 50% of the land currently cultivated compared to land in high-income countries. If you look at the systems at risk already mentioned by our Director General, I would first like to give you a brief global overview, and I will go into some of the regions. This is our global map with systems at risk. We are looking at areas where we have sea level rise, where is water scarcity, pollution, loss of biodiversity, deforestation, desertification, loss of soil fertility, land erosion, and land scarcity. And if you look at some of the key areas in the world, I would like to start first with giving you an overview over water scarcity. Water scarcity will be the key challenge of the 21st century. This map gives you an overview over physical water scarcity in some of the river basins. And FAO is going to launch a comprehensive report on the River Nile within the next days, where we have brought together all 10 countries of the River Nile, making an assessment of water availability today and water needs in 2030. And all River Nile countries, all 10 countries, have agreed to this assessment. Water scarcity will be the key challenge of the 21st century, not only for agriculture, but also for industrial use, drinking water, and sanitation. We have brought together in this global map land scarcity and water scarcity. And you can see the areas in blue where water scarcity is today a problem and where land scarcity is today a problem. Land scarcity is the amount and the quality of land per capita in these regions. And now I'm going into some of the key regions where we see systems at risk. Around the Mediterranean Sea, you see in North Africa land scarcity, but also in parts of Europe, in Spain, water scarcity. This is already reported. And you see along the River Nile, in blue, increasing water scarcity. If we go to an area with high population density, Western Africa, you see, this is the example of Nigeria, areas with high population and a small amount of land suitable for crop production in brown, and water scarcity and land scarcity in lila. So you have a country with one of the highest rates of population growth, and today land suitable for crop production is scarce, quality is decreasing, and at the same time we have water scarcity. Another area where we have water scarcity in irrigated areas is Central Asia. If you look at Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, you see that increasingly water is scarce in areas where irrigation is the key driver for increased food production. So water scarcity in these areas. And again, in southern and eastern Asia, we have high population density and at the same time land and water scarcity. And this overview makes it very clear that in order to feed a growing population, it is absolutely necessary to invest in sustainable land and water management to cope with the future demands by 2050 or by the end of the century. If you're looking at towards 2050, and the figures are already set, population will increase from now around 7 billion to more than 9.2 billion in 2050. And all this increase will happen in developing countries and in urban areas. Until the end of the century, population between now and the end of the century will increase by 3 billion people, all in developing countries, all in urban areas. And if we look at the breakdown of these figures, between now and the end of the century, more than 2.5 billion additional people will live in Africa, and more than 500 million additional people in Asia. So these are the areas where population grow in demand of food will happen, and at the same time, as you have seen, the current systems of agricultural production are at risk because of land scarcity and water scarcity. If you look at the changing diets, just to give you a brief overview, it takes 15,000 liters of water to produce 1 kilogram of beef, global average, 1,500 liters to produce 1 kilogram of cereals, and 1,000 liters of water to produce 1 kilogram of fruits. So the changing consumption patterns and the choice of our diets adds an additional challenge to food production. We know that food production has to increase between now and 2050 globally by 70%, as already mentioned by our Director General, and 100% in developing countries. So the challenge ahead of us is we have to address food security, we have to achieve food security for a growing world population, and at the same time preserving the ecosystem benefits, preserving the life support from the natural resources for agriculture, but also for other sectors of our economies. Which means that we have to remove distortion in the incentive framework, we have to improve land tenure and access to resources. There is a very clear connection between poverty and not having access to natural resources. If you look at the area where we have constraints in access to natural resources, you have the highest rates of poverty. And therefore, it's absolutely crucial to ensure access to natural resources. We have to improve collaboration between land and water institutions. The challenges ahead of us can only be met if land and water, and also to a certain extent energy, are working together. A silo approach will not provide solutions. And we have to increase the rural services, which means research, finance, but also extension and access to knowledge in order to manage natural resources in a sustainable way. And overall, access to markets has to be improved. And the main challenge is how can we promote sustainable land and water management in an interconnected way in order to preserve the ecosystems which are needed for an increased food production. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, it is key to invest in land and water. It's key for economic growth, for poverty reduction, and for achieving food security. So the challenge ahead of us is how can we feed the world within the natural resources currently available for us? Thank you very much.